And welcome to Healing Our Brokenness, episode 66, entitled, Do We All Really Matter? I have sat back and listened to comments over the last several months. These comments have been in regards to certain neighborhoods that people live in, certain cities, certain programs that people use who need assistance, and comments in regard to Black Lives Matter. And as I listened to the comments and also read the comments myself, I had to ask myself the question, what is being triggered for these individuals? And I asked myself that question because quite a few of the comments were filled with, not all of them, but there were quite a few where there was anger, outrage, and an outpouring of hate that was involved. And then when you look at the flip side of things, as a person who lives with PTSD, and whether you live with, in all fairness, whether you live with PTSD or not, to hear and read some of the comments that were put out on social media, said on the news, those comments left you traumatized, whether you had been or have not been before. Traumatized and in pain and wondering. And particularly when it comes to other Christians. I am Black. I am a person of color, a creation of art, made by the artist himself, known as God, created in his image and according to his likeness. And it is hard for people who do not have the same type of melanin in their skin, nowhere near that type, to be able to ascertain the type of pain and hurt that's involved in these type of comments. Just within the last 7 months, I would say it is, that it's been, I have been followed by the police officers in my county. And this has been a variety of different townships, not just one particular township, but different police officers who have followed me. Number one, because I was Black, they And then number two, because of the condition of my car. But the number one reason that they followed me was because I was Black. When they saw my face, it became instantly clear, unfortunately, that this is indeed the route that they should take. And at first, I tried to stuff it, which I knew that that wasn't going to last for very long, because now that everything in our world is, that's going on is going on, stuffing those type of issues, as I have been taught from childhood, and just going on and pretending, and those are the same things that methods that were taught way back in slavery times for fear of being beaten. Stuffing it is no longer an option. And so I had to let the anger rise to the surface. And just recently, I posted my opinions about the situation onto social media, my frustrations of the injustice that continues to happen to Black people, to people of color. And this last incident was 2 weeks ago when I was followed by the police. As soon as he saw my face, he did an extremely hard U-turn and started following me for about 6 blocks. And for, I guess, maybe about a week after that, it probably took before I started visually thinking that the police were after me every time I saw a white or Black SUV behind me. So the incident, those incidents that happened over these last 7 months, was actually traumatizing within themselves. It takes me back to, as a kid, we would all watch, and I'm quite sure you guys have probably watched it yourselves, there was a program on TV called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And part of the song at the end, he would always say, "Won't you be my neighbor?" And on one of the episodes, for this time, you know, during this day and age when this was going on, he had a Black police officer to show up on the particular program, that episode. And he had a wash basin, and they both had rolled up their pants leg and sat next to each other on the bench and put their feet into a wash basin together. And when I saw this scene recently, and recently as being probably could have been a good 6 months ago or less, it made me think about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And some of them being reluctant to him doing that, and him assuring them that it was necessary for him to do. It also made me think about how with Mr. Rogers, this program that we watched as children was a program that was out there to ensure that children would feel safe, that they had some type of consistency. So he was intentional. There was intentionality behind the program of making children feel safe, making them feel loved, and teaching them through about their feelings. And it was through everyday situations and using like this magical land of make-believe. And I thought about those moments on Mr. Rogers that were just eye-opening, and it also brought me back to a few weeks after George Floyd was killed. And it might have even been a few weeks. At the most, I would say 2 weeks. It probably was maybe more like a week. I witnessed something that was just mind-blowing for me. And there were 2 days in a row where there were peaceful protests in the towns out in the county that I live in. And both particular days, I was home from work, going home from work, driving home from work. And one of those particular days, there were so many people protesting that the policemen had rerouted traffic, which was a good thing for the protesters' safety. But just to see them as I was driving through the street where traffic was rerouted, and to see people out there and the majority of the crowd not being people of color, it really did something to me. Really, I had tears in my eyes as I drove, and it really was validating as a people to know that other people who do not have the same type of melanin in their skin would think that you were important enough for them to take their time out and hold up signs. And the following day, this was day number two of it, driving home, traffic was not rerouted, but for a good maybe 20 blocks, maybe a 20 block span, I don't know how long it went on, because it could have gone on for who knows how many blocks, I had to make a turn at a certain spot along the route. But for a good 20 blocks, every so many blocks, people were holding up signs and calling out names and saying that Black Lives Matter, and whatever it was that they felt that they needed to say, they would say it as people drove by. And I gave them a thumbs up and I said, thank you. I had the window open and I did it to as many people that I could as I was paying attention to traffic. But to be validated by other people who say to you that you are important enough for me to get out here and take a stand against it, it was just something that was just amazing to see. Well, we do what we are, what we've been convicted in our hearts to do, according to what our values and our beliefs are, we're not going to be popular. That is so the unpopular thing to do. And there's a song that I used to sing when I was growing up in the Baptist church in Chicago. And the song said that they would know, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. And one thing that is true about love, as it is, whether it's love, connection, acceptance, or judgment, we cannot give what we do not have. Whether it's with friends we're trying to help, family members we're trying to help, our children, we can only give out to the extent of what it is that we have. When it comes to the commandment that Jesus gave to the disciples, the first thing he told them was that was important, loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the number two importance was loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And so when it comes to this type of love, if it's things that we were taught that were not proper or correct, it's never, ever too late to go the extra mile to get whatever it is that we're missing. And like I said, this is not just for love. This is come when it comes to judging others, accepting others, connecting to others, connecting with others, rather. And there are certain areas that have been revealed that have just been institutionalized into our DNA. And for a perfect example of it is when we were kids, my cousins and I, my friends, we would sing these certain songs when we would do the jump rope. And when I reflected, as I was reading a book on racism recently, and I know it had to be the Holy Spirit, some of these songs came to mind and some of the sayings that we use as kids came to mind. And did those sayings come from our parents? No, not at all. And those sayings came from supposedly based on history, but the history was not correct. But it just goes to show you how things get passed down. What I want us to think about today is what would happen if we truly sought the Lord. If we will be willing to sit and read and learn and get out of our comfort zone, or will we prefer to scream and holler and rant and rave at the unknown, at what we don't understand? Will we be willing to be uncomfortable and ask God to examine our hearts before we have anything to come out of our mouths? And then once he reveals what's in our hearts, are we willing to partake in the process of change? About a month and a half ago, I was trying to seek direction from the Lord in a certain area. And just being vulnerable and being honest, I wanted to know the answer, but at the same time, I didn't want to know the answer. I was afraid that the answer that may come from God, that was revealed to me through the Holy Spirit, might be one that I did not want to hear. And so, in a sense, I blocked myself off from hearing the answer. And sometimes, because of the way that things have been institutionalized and going on for so long, we will block off whatever it is that God is telling us is the truth about a certain situation. About 3 weeks ago, I finally made up my mind to go to God again in regard to this particular situation. And I had myself open, and after I said out loud in my mind what I thought the Holy Spirit really wanted me to do in regard to this situation, it was confirmed. I could literally feel the power of God's presence on me. Remember, it is easier for us to go with what we know than to go with what we don't know. Because the unknown means that we have to be uncomfortable. And then when it's revealed to us what it is we should do, we have to decide whether or not we want to do the work, if it's worth it. Because once that process of change comes, we have to deal with anger, which is an uncomfortable emotion. It's one of the most uncomfortable emotions for me to feel. And then we have to deal with feelings of betrayal of history. Betrayal that came from not teaching proper history. And then we might have to deal with guilt from not doing more on our parts. So it's easier for us, for things to stay status quo, so to speak, to not ruffle feathers, to not allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to keep going with the way the system is. The Egyptians, my mistake, the Israelites rather, were released from being under the bondage of the Egyptians. The one thing that happened is things got really hard for them really fast out in the wilderness. The Lord was feeding them manna from heaven, and they were getting water from a rock. But none of these things were good enough for them. So they allowed those feelings to come in, and they started complaining. Oh, well, we should just stay back in Egypt. That's what we should have done. we had whatever, we could do whatever we wanted to do. We could eat whatever we wanted to eat. Life was just, it was the bomb. It was all of that in a bag of chips. Egypt represented slavery for them. So to go back meant to go back to slavery. Same thing with what's going on now. In order to tackle racism and injustice and unfairness, and to do our part as God would see fit for each and every one of us, that means that we would have to change. That means that there's a new way of living in freedom in Christ. That means that we are helping others to be free, as the scripture says, that we've not been given freedom just to be given freedom. That means that once we know, we can't unknow. And as Maya Angelou always said, when we know to do, when we know better, then it's our responsibility to do better. There is fear in the revelation of what God wants to give us for our hearts. But now is the time for us to be able to put what we know into action. We have plenty of time for self-examination because why, we're in a pandemic, so we're not running as much as we've been running. And as we're going through this process, it's also helpful for us to understand that we don't have to say everything that we've done wrong to another race or another neighborhood, another country, another town, another person, particularly to those individuals that have been affected. It only brings more trauma and more pain to recant these stories to them in particular. But asking God to examine our hearts, to give empathy on both sides, is what matters and what's going to help us to push through. Are we willing to do the work, or are we going to sit on the sidelines and have these chapters of our lives remain the same? Are we going to end our story as the book of Jonah ended, where Jonah sat pouting and hot and angry because certain people were given a chance, which was God's will, not Jonah's, for repentance? Or will we change like Jonah did because he was pressured by God while he was sitting in the belly of a whale? And we feel pressure because we're in a pandemic. We're sitting in a pandemic. But then we go right back to ending up where Jonah did, pouting, hot, and angry. Because what he felt should have happened didn't happen. He knew better than God. I am challenging you today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to challenge yourselves to push through and to do your part. In Chronicles, I was about to say Corinthians, we are reminded, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You have just been listening to episode 66 of Healing Our Brokenness. Do we all really matter? The theme music that you hear every week is being performed by artist Timothy Horton, and the name of the song is Valley of Grace. Until next time.
Instead of burn and perish away in nights never so cold, without his grace, how could I say that I've seen the world from his great love?
change, and maybe they take up the cross high again. The valley of grace never was the same after he had died. The love that refines. Change. I've seen the light, so